Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us here. It's Friday. Yes, Friday. The weekend is just about upon us. Doesn't mean I don't have a very busy day ahead. You probably do too. We all do. So it's a good time to stop and spend some time thinking about some spiritual things and looking into the Word of God. So Squirrel Chatter is part of the Christian Podcast Community. Head on over to ChristianPodcastCommunity.com and check out the other great podcasts that are over there. I was listening to the Bud Zone this morning when I was getting dressed, and Bud had a guest on, and they were talking about G3 and some of the stuff they'd done at G3. So since I wasn't there, it's good to hear everybody else's story, so I know how much I missed, and I'm okay about that. But I'm okay. I'm recovering. I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Really. It's okay. I'm already signed up for Shepherd's Conference, and so I'm good. I can look forward to that, and that's 5 months away. Almost, 5.5 months away to Shepherd's Conference. We're like a month and a half from Thanksgiving, 2 months from Christmas. Wow. Time flies. It really does. Yeah, we're 10 months into the, what is Inauguration Day? Inauguration Day is January 20th, right? So we're coming up on 10 months of the Biden administration. And I got to tell you, watching the news, and I try not to get too bogged down in it, but it's unavoidable. There's just, it has to be paid attention to. We need to understand the times in which we live, because these are the times that God has decreed in which we live. So we should be aware of them. We should try to examine everything biblically. And this current administration that took office back in January, and I have strong feelings about how they got into office. I don't believe the election was fair. I am one of those guys who thinks it was rigged, and I think it's actually, if you're anybody that looks at it with any kind of honesty, is going to have to admit that it's pretty obvious. It's almost like they didn't even try to hide it. They deny it. They're standing there. It's Emperor's New Clothes stuff. That everybody just says, oh, it was fair, it was fair, it was fair. Meanwhile, all these weird things happened. The stopping of the votes in five states at 4 a.m. and then cutting back with a sudden surge for Biden. And it doesn't pass the smell test at all. And I think with the audit in Arizona, what did they say? There were 57,000 illegal votes, and Biden only won the state by 10,000. So how would that have affected the outcome? Did Trump win Arizona by 40,000 votes? It's a distinct possibility. It's a frightening time in which we're living. And when we look at all the draconian measures that are being taken, all the mandates and stuff. Now COVID is real. I had it. I had it over the summer. I had about a day and a half of fever. I was really lethargic for about a week, but I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't get tested. It wasn't until, just last month when I went in for my annual physical, and I described the symptoms to my doctor, and when I got to the fact that I had lost my sense of smell for a couple of weeks, that's when she said, yeah, you had COVID. That's kind of the indicator. If you lost your sense of smell, it was COVID. But all I did was, treat it like the flu. Get plenty of rest, get plenty of fluids, take vitamins. I slept for about 3 days, and a day and a half of that I had a fever. But I just, I watched Netflix and sat in a recliner and just tried to get healthy. And, like I said, I was feeling tip top, after, I didn't feel sick after a couple of days. And then, but I was still very, very tired. And then after 5-6 days, I was up and around and feeling fine and no problem at all. And at the same time, I know younger and fitter people who have had it and been in hospital. So it just hits everybody differently, but it is real. But one thing it isn't the Spanish flu epidemic of 1911. It's certainly not the Black Death. And it's not the zombie apocalypse. This is not wiping out huge swaths of the population. But it's being used to stir up fear for the purpose of control and manipulation. And we see that in everything that's happening. The Swedish study showed that masks have no effect. All this wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask did nothing to stop the spread of the virus. The other thing that they showed was the fact that the lockdowns really didn't stop the spread of the virus. May have slowed it down just a little bit, but even back, remember back, 2 weeks to flatten the curve? Over a year ago, we're well into the second year of 2 weeks to flatten the curve. The whole thing about the 2 weeks to flatten the curve was to slow the spread so that everybody who got it didn't end up in the hospital in the same time. Well, it turned out that most people didn't need to be hospitalized. And, the hospitals were never overrun in that capacity. And people are talking about the hospitals being full now. You know the problem with the hospitals now? It's not that they don't have bed space. It's they don't have staff. They only have so many beds available because that's the number of patients that they are equipped to handle at that time because of their staffing needs. It's not because of the size of the hospital or the number of beds total. It's because they don't have the people. I know. I have friends in the healthcare industry. They tell me these things. So all of this is manipulative and fear-mongering, and our current administration is right in the middle of it. And this is, as I was saying last week, this is the mechanism by which they are trying to institute the Great Reset. And go to the World Economic Forum, read the stuff there. This isn't a secret conspiracy. They're right out in the open about what they want to do. It's just that nobody's listening. Nobody's paying attention. Or very few, certainly none of the elites, because they're all in on it. So they're helping push this. And I'm about as far from elite as possible. I'm out here in the middle of the piney woods, far from anything. I mean, it's 60 miles from Walmart. So, but I wanted to mention that. I think that this is probably the most godless administration of my lifetime. And I had, serious concerns about the Clinton administration. I had very serious concerns about the Obama administration. And I have some really, really serious concerns about the Biden administration. And I think that the Biden administration is worse than the other two, probably not because they wouldn't have done these things, but at that time they couldn't have. The field had not been planted, or it had not been plowed. The way had not been cleared. It took a while, but they were building to it. Now, one of the things about the Clinton administration, Bill Clinton, say what you want, Bill Clinton is not a true ideologue. He wasn't a slobbering at the mouth liberal like his wife is. Bill Clinton just thought it would be cool to be president and it'd be a great way to pick up chicks. Let's be honest. When 2 years into his administration, the Republicans took Congress and started passing conservative bills out of Congress, Clinton happily went along with it. He was a very much a finger in the air kind of guy. He would stick his finger up in the air, see which way the wind was blowing, and he was happy to go along and enjoy the trappings of the office. The big liberal push they had for a universal health care at the very beginning of his term, when that got defeated, you never heard about it again. You really didn't hear about it again until the Obama administration. And by then, they had taken steps and moved along the idea in the public. And the left is in control of the education system. The left is in control of the media. So they use the education system and they use the media to prepare the minds of the American people to accept the leftist politics when they get elected. And we see this in the polls about especially how many young people are in fact socialist. They don't have a biblical worldview. They don't have even the civic religion that kept America moral for the first couple centuries of the country. And let's be honest, Jesus said, the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many there are that enter in thereby. The gate is straight and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Christianity has never been the majority. It's had a great influence, but the vast number of the people have never been born again believers in Christ. And that's been true ever since the cross. And Jesus predicted that. We know that. We don't need to, you know, to worry about that. We share the gospel with anybody who will listen, and we pray for the conversion of their souls, but we leave the results up to God. It's God who saves, not we. It's one of the biggest problems with the manipulative evangelism methods. You know, put evangelism down as a topic for discussion sometime in the near future. But we have to understand that our nation has never been a Christian nation. No nation ever has. People are Christian, nations are not. The Christians in our country have had a very big influence on our country for the good. And that influence has faded away. Faded. It's like, you know, flipping off a light bulb. It's like it was there one day and gone the next. I think it was fading for a while and we just didn't admit it and didn't want to talk about it. And part of the reasons it's faded is I think is we've had a doctrinally weak church in America. But I'm just getting into everything today, aren't I? This is what happens when I don't have notes and I just want to talk. But the Biden administration, we need to pray for them. It's a tough thing to think about the fact that, you know, and I don't mean imprecatory prayers. We need to pray for the salvation of the president and for the salvation of many of the people around him. There are people that claim to be Christian, but, you know, you look at their voting record and their public statements, and by their fruit you will know them. And these people are not talking about things that would indicate that they have any kind of true faith in Christ. So that's one of those things that we need to keep in mind, is we need to keep praying for the president. Dr. Oakley, James White, tweeted this yesterday, and I just kind of wanted to share it. I don't normally go to Twitter, but I go to Twitter all the time, but I don't normally go to Twitter on the show. But I wanted to share this. Yesterday, he tweeted, "Get closer to your fellow believers in the fellowship to which he has joined you. Find your fulfillment and joy in simple things. What is coming will test you to the fullest extent of the Spirit's power. The culture of death is raising its sword. But we know, as sure as the tomb is empty, as sure as the sun is enthroned on high, that sword will fall upon its own neck in time. Eternity will see this as but a brief time, though for us it may seem very long indeed. The godly trust even when the night seems the darkest." And I found that was encouraging. He doesn't gloss over the fact that these are dark times. But in these dark times, we have hope. And so let us cling to that hope. And I wanted to read one of the collects from this is the 2019 Anglican Church in North America Book of Common Prayer. This is the newest Book of Common Prayer. The Anglican Church in North America The Anglican Church in North America are the Bible-believing Anglicans who split away from the Episcopal Church when the Episcopal Church went so far left. So it's the Bible-believing Anglican Church, and I pray for them regularly. I have some friends that are involved in the ACNA, which is the Anglican Church in North America, and in GAFCON, which is the Global Anglican Fellowship. These are the conservative Anglicans, as I said. These are the Anglicans that believe the Bible. And they stand firmly in opposition to much of the things that come out of Lambeth Palace these days, which is the home of the Archbishop of Canterbury. All right. This is the collect for the President of the United States and all in civil authority. This is not a collect that was written by Thomas Cranmer in the 1500s, because, of course, there was no United States in the 1500s. This is one that was added probably to the prayer book, probably the 1928 prayer book, which is the current one that the Episcopal Church in the United States is using, and then it was moved over into this 2019 ACNA prayer book. This is the collect for the President and all in civil authority. O Lord, our Governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of this nation, the Governor of this state, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. And that is a prayer that needs to be, set it over here instead of trying to get it back on the shelf. That is a prayer that needs to be in our minds and on our lips. As Paul said to Timothy, pray for all those who are in authority. And we need to do that. And quite often you wonder, well, what am I supposed to pray? And that's a pretty good example. And I think if you Google 2019 ACNA Book of Common Prayer, I think there's a free PDF download. So you don't have to go out and buy the book. I like the Book of Common Prayer a lot, as you have no doubt picked up. But let's continue to pray for our nation, pray for our leaders. All right. We need to get into our Bible reading. I kind of went long on that. Sorry. Just me rambling. This is squirrel chatter, and I chatter a lot. All right. Let us now move into our Bible reading. After I wet my whistle. And we will finish the book of Hebrews today. Well, let's begin with our prayer of confession. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And switching over to the Bible. Hebrews chapter 11 from the Legacy Standard Bible. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he was approved as being righteous, God approving his gift. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For prior to being taken up, he was approved as being pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who draws near to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith Noah, being warned about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to the faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she regarded him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there were born even of one man, and of him as good as dead at that time, as many as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been remembering that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they aspire to a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only son, to whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he also received him back. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave commands concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, regarding the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the rage of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after welcoming the spies in peace. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I recount Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, as well as David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, performed righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong from weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and floggings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in desolate places and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these things, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. This is the word of the Lord. I'm going to stop there. That chapter 11 of Hebrews just fits really well with what I was talking about before we started the scripture reading. And I think I'm just going to stop there and we can meditate on chapter 11 over the weekend. And it is the weekend. Do something fun. I'm going to a Grizz game tomorrow. Yes. So that'll be fun. Go Grizz. Up with Montana boys, down with the foe. Good old Grizzlies out for the victory. I will be singing and dancing in the stands, wearing my maroon. Things will be cold tomorrow, but sunny. So I think the high is like in the high 50s. I'd have to look. So we'll see what that is. I think I'll be wearing a maroon sweatshirt instead of a t-shirt. We'll figure that out. I hope you have wonderful plans for the weekend. I hope your plans include church on Sunday. If they don't, change those plans right now. Get to a church that teaches the Bible and sit under the teaching of the Word, fellowship with the faithful. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. And whatever you do, do it under the glory of the Lord. Have a great weekend, and I hope to see you again Monday morning for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.